Hello, everyone, and welcome to ANA episode, ANA MMA episode 19. I'm your host, Slim.
And it's Monty. So, I know last week, guys, I told you that we're going to be, you know, kicking mad ass out here.
Yeah, you talked a lot of shit.
This podcast is going to be so awesome now. But listen, we got stuck in the basement this week, okay? I don't even have some headphones. I don't even know what I sound like right now. I probably sound like shit.
You sound great. Take my word for it.
So, basically, things just didn't go our way this week, but we're still going to put out that quality podcast because, you know, I got all the greatest news for you and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, news.
And Slim, you know, I mean, he hasn't really been doing anything, but Slim doesn't, you know, usually do anything except show up like 20 minutes late to his podcast. Oh, 20 minutes late. That would have been nice of me to say 20, or that would have been nice if it was actually 20 minutes. It's like 40.
40 minutes.
Dude's wild.
Hey, you know what?
Pressing me to be here at 8:30 shows up at like 9:10.
I had an eventful weekend.
Super awesome.
I can't even talk because I'm just fried.
Awesome how terrible you are.
Thanks. So Friday I rocked the hive mind.
Yeah, you did.
Me and Freely Spoken, we killed that shit.
Stupid, dumb way.
Oh my god, it was so much fun. I met a ton of cool artists I'd love to work with in the future. Mike Renegade's set was fucking sick. It got me super hyped.
Super dope.
Love Abstracts was amazing. I believe it was Proud of the Environment. I think that's their name. The band with the dude that rapped. Dude, I did not expect that at all. Dude came off his guitar, hit a 16, and went back on guitar. I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that at all. Sick.
So
sick
you spot. Got shown up a little bit.
No, I was up there with him. What do you mean?
Oh, were you?
Like, not on the same... Like at the same time, I mean, like I'm there, same category. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah,
same level.
Yeah, I'm in there because I'm having a show at the Empire in 2 weeks.
God damn, bro.
I've been busy.
You just keep pumping out quality music. You guys are probably like, yo, why are they always playing that weird ass music? Why don't they ever play Slim's music? Because
it's good.
Yeah, I mean, if I played Slim's music on this podcast, it would fucking blow up all of our equipment. Everything would start melting. And then there'd be no ANA MMA. That's why we don't play Slim's music on our podcast.
Yeah, I just previewed Freely's for now. But eventually, when I release some stuff, once I get a little more dialed in, I'm working. Working, guys. Just know I'm working. Shit'll be released soon. I'm working on tape number 2. I'm going to have new shirts. I'm going to have new merch. All that.
Yep.
It's going to be big. It's going to be a big end of the year for me.
Yeah.
Other than that, what else did I do? Oh, I went to Put'n Bay Saturday. Dude, that was sick.
Yeah, roofie day. Did you get any roofies?
No, but I did drink since like 1 p.m. to like 1 in the morning.
I would have tried and got myself a roofie. But...
You would have tried. No, it was cool though. Put'n Bay is wild. It's a wild time. I would definitely recommend going there.
If
you haven't been.
Definitely.
Not if you're not 21 though, because they fucking took my... Every time they looked at my ID, they like inspected it. Like there was like it was 100% fake. They were just like looking at every angle. They looked at me. They looked back down at it. I'm like...
That's my favorite
thing. They should really have a thing at the gate, like right when you get off the boat, where like, oh, are you 21? No? Okay, here's a wristband. Or if you are 21, yeah, here's a wristband. So they know.
So they can just cut it off?
No, if you are 21, you get a wristband. And if you don't have the wristband, you don't get any drinks. That's what they should do. Because it was just annoying how snobby they were being. Even when I went to fucking Circle K over on Newton.
They must have gotten in trouble lately.
Probably, shit. But even when I went to Circle K on Newton, put my beer on the counter. Getting some Labatt's, you know.
Yes, as you do.
Bad.
Because you got money this week. Usually you got your natty daddies.
No, that's just when I want to get faded. These are a little less of a high percentage beer. Anyway. So I put them on the counter. I'm like, hey, how you doing? She goes, I need your ID.
Off rip.
I hate when people do that. Because I work customer service. And that's my least favorite thing. It's like, I asked you how you're doing. At least say... I'm all right, you know. Can I see some ID? You know, throw it out there, but not fucking off-rip conversation. I need your ID.
That's awesome.
So I was like, okay, showed her, like, in my wallet. She's like, I need a slider. I'm like, oh, girl. Fucking threw it on the counter.
Toss it.
Gave it a little spin. Just get a little.
Yeah.
Get a little.
Like, if you just toss it straight on, it's like.
No.
But if you put that little, like.
Little swank on it, you know.
Yeah.
So she slid it and then just whoop, handed me the receipt. I said, all right, have a good night. Didn't say anything.
Shit
like, oh, you old bitch.
Shit on your life.
Dude, dude. I should have.
That's awesome.
I should have hit the.
What Circle K was that?
Right over on.
Go right there, ain't
right over on Darrow Road. Blow up the gas button.
Yo, no, yo, my parents live over there. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Mom, no.
Anyway, so it was an eventful weekend for me. How was your weekend? What did you do? What did you get into?
I had an apartment party and did super fucking awesome in my fantasy football draft.
Already?
The Kush Bombs are going to win the money.
The Kush Bombs? That's your league team?
Actually, it's the Loud Packs.
Oh.
But a.k.a. the Kush Bombs.
The Kush Bombs.
Yeah, but that was about it. And, you know, other than that, I was just cool and shit.
Hell yeah.
So, this week we're going to open up with Monty's
Ring Contender Corner.
Yeah. We're about to break this shit down a little bit for you guys because, in my opinion, this was the best one we've had yet. So many knockouts.
Honestly, so far.
So much good stuff happening here.
I'm with you.
My computer's just going to freeze. That's all right, though. So, in the first fight, we had Shelton Graves against Everett Wolverine, a.k.a. also Sexual Chocolates.
Oh.
But that might be Shelton Graves. I think. All right. Anyways, so in the first round, this is a bout of heavyweights.
Correct.
In the very first round, it was Graves. Graves controlled a good portion of that round. Sims actually... like Shelton Graves came in for a takedown and Sims actually got a Kimura and was holding onto it for probably a good like minute and a half
right.
And ended up losing that. But Graves actually ended up rolling back on top. He had great scrambles for being such a big guy.
Yeah.
Shelton Graves is 6'1", 265, and Everett Sims was 6'5", 262 or something like that.
Wow.
So, you know, Graves had a little bit of a size disadvantage there, but still ended up getting himself on top, had great scrambles, and the second round absolutely dominated. He just had Everett Sims turtled up against the canvas for 3 minutes, and he was just landing his softest little baby, baby punches. Dude, what he needed to do was back up and start kneeing him in his chest,
yeah,
and his stomach, and his ribs, all that good stuff, and start punching him.
Right.
But he was just laying on top of him, just putting his weight on top, just going, little tiny baby shots for the longest, dude.
Was he covering up, though?
Yeah, he was covering up, but, I mean, he was just sitting there taking it for so long. And then the ref, who I'm pretty sure was Mark Smith, came up and was like, you know, I need you to move. Like, yeah, you're defending yourself, but you're not doing anything except getting smashed.
Yeah, get going.
So, it wasn't like he was getting hit hard. He was just getting hit.
Right.
So
consistently.
He ended up making it out of that round. And then in the third round, it was basically the same thing. Graves ended up getting him on the ground and was just sitting there hitting him. And Mark Smith ended up coming in, stopping the fight. So, Shelton Graves looked good. Definitely has a great potential in the UFC. If I'm not mistaken, he's 31 years old. So, you know, I mean, it's about time for him to, you know, kind of be at this level.
Yeah.
Didn't get a contract.
Oh.
But beat an undefeated fighter with a lot of hype in Everett Sims, who is also an American Top Team fighter.
Oh.
So
a lot of hype behind him.
Yeah. Big, great quality win for Shelton Graves in the heavyweight division.
I feel like no matter what, no matter what the outcome is, the fighters coming out of this are going to have such a respect for being on this type of platform and
right,
performing how they did, win or lose. You know, it's the fact that they went there and did what they did.
Right. Yeah, so a great fight. Good job to Shelton Graves getting the TKO via knees. And, yeah, shout out to him.
Oh, yeah.
In the next fight, we had Khalil Rountree, light heavyweight. His older brother, actually, who is much smaller, a bantamweight fighter.
Oh.
His name is Donovan Freelo, and kind of a cool story. Basically, they had a brotherly pact.
Yeah.
And the deal was, if Khalil Rountree, he was fat.
Hmm.
He was fat, so it was like, okay, if you come and lose this weight, I'll train you. That was kind of the deal that Donovan Freelo had. And Donovan Freelo was also going down a really bad path. So his brother said, "All right, I'll pay your way into the gym, and we'll do this thing." So.
Oh dear.
You know what happened?
That's really bad noise. I don't know what it was. Anyway, go on.
Okay. But,
you know, I forgot you don't have headphones on. I was like, oh, do you hear that? No, you don't. Go so, on.
Anyways, a cool backstory. He was fighting Ricky Simon, who, mind you, great fighter.
Yeah.
Ricky Simon has a great, it might be Simone. Ricky Simone. He has a great background in wrestling. Mm-hmm. So, to open up the fight, Simone got a nice little kick, but this dude, Freelo, throws bombs. I mean, he throws hard.
Ill for intent. A bantamweight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing is he wasn't picking his shots too well. He was just kind of throwing them.
Winding them, yeah.
You know. So Ricky Simon was a little bit more technical, and he was able to stand up with Freelo. But when it got to the ground, Simone was just great. I mean, his wrestling dominated. But the thing about Freelo was he was able to scramble, and he's such an explosive athlete that he was getting right up after these takedowns.
Right.
Even though they were so good, he was just so explosive. He was using his brain. It was great fighting IQ. He was getting close to the cage so he could use it to help him get his way up. So it was a great fight. I had Simone win in the first two rounds. And then in the third round, it was very close, dude. Simone came out and immediately, again, got Freelo down to the canvas, which was basically the story of the whole fight. A couple times he actually picked him up. One time he picked him up and did like an old Frank Trigg, like carry you across the cage. Yeah,
across the ring, dude.
Yeah.
That was Matt Hughes.
Yeah, both of them did that. So, Donovan Freelo, great story, man. An amazing fighter. He looked great. He ended up losing via split decision. So Ricky Simone with the win. Simone definitely looked great. And I think both of these guys have a future in the UFC.
Potential.
Cool. Yeah, it was a split decision. And I think both of these guys would be a great addition in the bantamweight division.
Oh, yeah.
Give them a little bit more time. Freelo is getting a little bit up there. I think he might also be 31. But, man, great fight. Honestly, that was the best fight that I've seen this whole entire Dana White's contender series.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's, what is that, 30 fights now?
30 fights. This was week
5.
Yeah, week 5.
Well, so technically it was the 26th.
So that was the 25th.
Yeah, or 27th.
Tell me where you're getting that math equation. So.
I thought it wasn't that the second fight, or was it the first fight that you talked about?
That was the... Oh, so you're saying like from what we've talked about.
Yeah, that is number 20.
That would have been number 22. Because if it's week 5, if this is week 5, we've done 20 of them so far. And I just did 2, so that would be 22.
You're right.
Beep, beep, Monty with the math.
Yeah, so, catch our sound clips, episode 20.
We're working on that. You know, like I said, I gave you guys that awesome declaration last week. And totally fucking blew it. So it's okay, guys.
We're in the basement. We got 2 podcasts going on in the same house right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised we don't hear these goons upstairs yelling about their fucking wrestling podcast.
I hear them. The listener won't, though.
Yeah, go ahead and shout out the...
Yeah, shout out the Lazy Wrestling Podcast.
And, you know, everybody else who works with us.
Okay, shout out our new guy, Steve Guy, on the Wingcast. He gives you relationship advice every single week.
Super dope.
Featuring different topics of relationship advice.
Because Lord knows you guys need that.
Yeah, everyone does.
God everyone damn. We'd be struggling.
Right, shout out Keeping It 99, the most heaviest 99, metal... The most heaviest metal podcast we have on the network.
So heavy.
Besides Rain Clothing Sing, which I don't think is on yet, but it will be soon. Shout out to Chris Lim's Cavs Cast.
Of course.
Shout out to us.
A-N-A-M-M-A. Always us.
Shout out to The Unbelievables. I was on there last week. Super cool guys, a lot of improv, a lot of funny jokes.
Yeah, because everybody thinks you're super funny.
I didn't do bad. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought you did amazing, and I think you have a great sense of humor.
Thanks, bud. So anyway, shout out to I Can't Read, which is Paul's podcast. We do movie things. I don't watch movies, so that's not the one for me, but it might be for you. If you like reviews, they do a really good job. They really break down movies, actors, everything like that.
Kind of like how we try to break down fights.
Exactly. Shout out the main show. Last week we recorded at Paul's, and we met, I don't remember the guest, but he was a super cool dude. He writes for the, damn, I'm drawing a blank. This is a rough weekend for me, a lot of drinking. The guest was super cool.
You could remember shit before that.
True, yeah. I like when, was it you that asked Jen, like, how bad my memory was? And she was like, well, mine's bad too.
Yeah, like, damn. Your guys' kid's gonna be like, what?
You should see us when we fight. You're like, I didn't say that! Yeah, you did!
Lost in your arguments.
Main show, dope show. Hell yeah.
Yeah. All of us rock. Check our whole...
Lousy Weather Network.
Our whole plethora of podcasts that we have here on our awesome network.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? No. Mm-hmm. You don't know what I'm saying. Moving on to a pretty respectable flyweight bout. We had Kevin, the pocket herc, whatever the fuck that
the
means.
Pocket
great.
Herc. Oh.
The pocket herc. My man looks like Kevin Lee if somebody like hit him with a shrink laser. And then Alex Perez, the California kid, kind of jocking Uriah's name, who ended up having to concede his nickname to Alex Perez because my man put Kevin Lee Gray in a anaconda choke in the very first minute.
Right to bed. Send him
absolutely
right to bed.
Absolutely beautiful.
CNZs. I kind of want to go back and listen to the Snoopcast and see what Uriah said about him.
Yeah. So
having the same name. Sorry, I'm burping.
No, it's great though.
But side note, I went to the tried to go to the Hamburger Festival today. Because, you know, my mom works for the city back room. She was like, yo, it's today. It's Saturday and Sunday. I'm like, okay, well, I'll be at Put in Bay all day Saturday. I went and hung out with you later that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, I'll go Sunday. Well, I was lounging around, you know, took a nap. So I woke up at like, I don't know what it was, like 6. And I'm like, oh, yeah, screw it. I'm going to go down there. Hit up buddy Justin. We went down there. They're closing up shop every single stand. We're like walking around like, oh no, we're way late.
Oh no.
Oh no. So yeah, we went to Lockview and had like burgers there. No, the Lockview had burgers. They had a mac and cheese bite burger. It was like their special.
Dude. Oh, snap.
Slap.
Just on that subject, if you're ever up in Cleveland, go to the Harry Buffalo and get yourself a buffalo mac and cheese burger.
Ooh.
Or chicken sandwich.
The Harry Buffalo.
Yeah, that shit smacks. And, you know, the waitresses there are cute and shit.
That sounds
so cool. If you're a Harry Buffalo attender and, you know, shoot some game for Monty out here. Be like, hey, this really cool dude was talking about you on his podcast saying you got a fat ass.
Yeah.
Hit him up.
Throw him $10. So shout about you every week.
Yeah, anyways, before what we were talking about is my man Alex Perez got the anaconda choke. Kevin Gray shot in for a little weak-ass, missed-ass takedown, and then just got locked in
with
a darce.
I thought he dropped him with an uppercut.
A darce? Is it darce?
Yeah, a darce choke.
Yeah, he got locked in with a darce, and then just got put in an anaconda for
It was so slick.
So smooth,
how he did it, so quick. Yeah,
he knew what he was doing.
He really synced it up flawlessly.
Absolutely. So, a little bit...
Okay, but side note also, he tapped, right?
No, he did not tap.
Thought I seen him tap.
No tap at all. Okay. No tap at all. Right. Great stoppage by the referee. Let me see who that was. Give me 1 second, because you deserve a shout-out for that. Because if that was like Mario Yamasaki, my dude would probably still be getting choked right now.
He'd probably get a raise if he did stop it on time.
Or what's today? Monday? Right?
Sunday.
Damn. See, I started working on Sundays. So and I don't do that.
Yeah.
So
it sucks.
It's like my Monday now. You know
right,
what I'm
right. I feel
super
you.
Terrible.
I feel you. Yeah,
but,
Sunday work days are not fun.
Yeah, keep stalling. Just go 1 second.
Anyway, yeah, Mario Yamasaki, worst in the business. One that was almost as bad as him back in the day was Steve Mazzagatti.
Yeah, that's funny. I just watched Ronda Rousey break.
Yes, I watched that too.
Arm?
That's I don't remember whose arm, but she didn't
Some
break
girl.
It.
She snapped that shit, bro.
She, the girl, like, kind of put her hand on the mat, and Ronda said, oh, she tapped. And Steve Mazzagatti was like, oh, okay. And just decided to fucking break it up. And the girl got up like, what? What happened? Why'd you stop it? He's like, oh, you tapped. And she was like, no,
Since
I
when?
Didn't.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
Who? Whose fight were you watching?
Please tell me who.
So, Fuck you, Steve Mazgatti.
Where's he at? We should do a Mazgatti now.
No, I haven't seen him ref in a long time. He's like, all right, let's bring it on! He had that accent.
I feel like he probably is doing mad crazy drugs now.
Maybe he's down to Bellator now, if anything.
You know what I'm saying? Moving on to the next fight, a featherweight fight between Mark Diakasi's fucking doppelganger. Peter the Joker Pettis, who came in with a 5-2 record. A little bit of hype behind him. I mean, he's a win-loss type of guy, you know. Win, no contest, loss, win. So what was he due for?
A win. Loss.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, my bad. I didn't follow the pattern.
You tried.
I failed that class.
So he was taking on Julio Arce, who, in my opinion, was very close to getting himself a nice little contract. The only person he's ever lost to is UFC veteran Brian Kelleher.
Oh, nice.
So this Julio Arce guy, very impressive, man. Peter Pettis looked a lot more impressive to me in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was mixing stuff up, I was like, okay, I like this Pettis guy.
Yeah.
But in the second round, dude, Arce came out ready to go. They were throwing it, mixing it up, and then all of a sudden, Arce got in there, dude, looking to knock him out, ended up getting a nice little TKO, punched him, and just kept tagging him, dude. He had him up against the cage just throwing combos. I mean, just fists of fury, dude.
Yeah, his chin is definitely something to be known
for. But yeah, Peter Pettis, to his credit, was eating him up. To his credit, for a while, he was eating him up. And I did think Arce could have stopped him a little bit before that. But still, regardless, got the TKO win over a great prospect in Peter Pettis. So Julio Arce, probably a couple more fights and maybe he'll get another shot.
Yeah, he looked really good. Like I said, the other dude's chin, though, was like definitely impressive.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Peter was the other guy,
Peter
right?
Peter Pettis.
Is he Brazilian?
Peter Pettis trains, I just had it up. Damn, I could have sounded mad smart right there. Damn, I fucked that up.
I thought you said they're going to be shitting stats.
Well, bro. I got the straight basement.
Basement threw you off. The fumes got you right now?
No, I got the basement connection and my shit is not loading. Like, I have all the shit pulled up ready to kill it and my screen's just stuck. I mean, I got like the old Windows like color wheel going right now, bro.
And you got an Apple product too, damn. I got the Windows laptop.
That's bad.
That's funny. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. He looked Brazilian. He looked good. So, a couple more fights for him. I expect to see him in the UFC eventually, or Bellator or something like that on the main circuit.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the next fight. So, this one was really impressive for me.
Yep, you got to watch this one.
I did. 6'4".
He's
6'5". Yep. Oh shit, that's something. I can't pull up on while I'm recording, so this is... It was Johnson, right?
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mike Rodriguez was going up against Jamel Jones. Just get out of here, Slim. I got
okay.
This.
This isn't my segment. Okay.
So,
I'm just here for hype man. Like, oh, mm-hmm, yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, they started out good. They were both kind of tentative, you know, sized each other up for a little while. Rodriguez had a John Jones-esque game.
For sure. With the oblique kicks.
Through his oblique kicks, which was like more like a downward, like an inward heel stomp.
Right.
Rodriguez respected Jamel Jones' wrestling game, and Jamel Jones was respecting Mike Rodriguez's stand-up game.
Exactly. It was a little
and
bit
the
of
the very
a...
first time that Jamel Jones shot in for a takedown,
flying
me to the face.
Oh, buddy.
With a couple follow-up blows, bro.
Put him on his ass.
Mike Rodriguez, another light heavyweight contender coming into the UFC. They just keep putting him out there.
And like they said, I expected him to get the contract off of that, not only because it was a definitive win and a flashy knockout, but because even the announcer said, I forget which one said it, but they were like, you know, Dana's looking for, or maybe Dana said it himself, I don't remember. There's some divisions in the UFC that are lacking as of late. You know, not the best contenders, or if the contenders are there, they've lost against the champs, and you don't want to see, you know, the just keep losing against the champ every time. Right. So, you know, they're trying to fuel that fire and feed the division a little bit. So, I really did expect him to get that, especially also the flyweight fight too, because you know those are the probably the most lacking divisions in the UFC right now, which sucks because light heavyweight used to be the premier division. Like, when you went to see a fight, if it was like some Chuck Liddell versus Tito, you were like, oh my god, stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So,
anyway, who got contracts this week, Monty?
This week, it was the new California kid.
Yeah.
Alex Perez getting himself a contract with his impressive Anaconda choke over Kevin Gray, and then also receiving a contract, the man who did it big in the main event of the night, Mike Rodriguez, with the flying knee to the face in the very first round. Both of them in the first round.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Watch out, guys. We got some new people coming up.
I think we both agree that this was for sure the best, not only the best week so far, but the picks that he made were totally
good. Yeah, because usually I disagree with one. I think somebody, there should be two. This week, there was definitely should have been two, and he picked the right two.
Absolutely.
So, good job, Dana. Yay!
Yeah! Dana White.
Dana White.
$4.2 million out.
Dana Pink. When he gets mad.
You see that thing of him breaking up Floyd and Connor, and it was like Neapolitan ice cream?
No.
That shit was funny.
Yo, that's funny as fuck.
Oh, shit.
So, you told me earlier, you kind of hinted at me, I didn't let you spill the beans because I was kind of interested.
Oh?
You said you have some Dana White Contender Series news.
Yeah. So, apparently, the Snoopcast has been getting a little bit of backlash between the MMA community.
Okay, why?
And not just, I'm not just talking like analysts, but I mean like fighters are watching this and they're feeling offended. They think that Snoop is being completely ignorant and also disrespectful.
Wow.
And at the same time, okay, I have two things to say about this. So, one, I kind of agree because Snoop called the one, get the booty position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, grab the booty position. So it was like, well, you know, and Uriah kind of... Uriah literally doesn't know what he's going to say. Uriah's just kind of sitting there like, what's going to come out of his mouth? I'm drinking gin with Snoop. Like, I'm starstruck, you know. I think he's past the starstruck phase, but still, it's like Snoop just kind of says whatever's on his mind. But at the same time, to all these people that are offended, it's like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Literally, what did you expect?
And all you have to do is not watch it, because you know there's a group of people out there who do enjoy that. So, you know, quit bitching.
Right. It is what it is.
The regular one.
It is what it is. The only thing is that I feel like they're getting offended because the UFC is paying for Snoop to do this, and this is a guy who can't do anything in the cage at all. And he doesn't know anything about anything.
Have you seen Snoop's helicopter kick, though?
Yes.
All right. So my whole thing on that is it's cool what they're doing. Because who gives a fuck?
Right.
Who gives a fuck putting a guy who doesn't have the greatest education in fighting?
Okay, but when you're singing lullabies to people who just got viciously KO'd and might have a concussion, that's a little disrespectful of that.
I mean, it's comedy, bro. It's a different view on fights.
Yes, but I'm just saying I see where the fighters are taking that a little like, I don't know how I feel about this. But at the same time, it's like, what do they think that all these guys at bars are doing watching their fights when they get viciously KO'd or when they, you know, it's like
they're laughing at you.
Exactly. Not even laughing, just like, oh, that dude got slumped, you know, just like random.
Yeah, talking mad bar shit.
You know, obviously we're some pristine reporters and we, you know, only give.
Yo, you be sound mad stupid at the bar though when you're talking about fights.
No matter what.
Like if somebody was like, yo. And like said something, and I'd be like, "Hey, we have a podcast." They'd be like, "What? You got a fucking podcast? You could have a podcast.
You look like a podcast, like some stupid."
Damn, like, oh. That was a good bake.
No, it wasn't. But that's some shit we've heard. Anyway, I feel like it's like, okay, this is an optional listen. Like, I get where the fighters are coming
like
from.
Like us,
right? You don't have to listen to us. You can listen to. I don't even know anyone that breaks down the contender quarter like we do podcast-wise.
Yeah, who else has a contender corner?
Not Joe Rogan.
Nobody.
Not anyone but Monty. It's Monty's thing.
Who has as much news as us?
Well, We'll not get into that because I want you guys to listen to us. But anyway,
well, you know, I mean, maybe like Area 101 and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You'd be talking to them and shit.
Right. They get in the studio with them. They come to New York and they're like, yo, whatever.
Him and Connor were just kicking it the other day.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get there one day. Anyway, I just, like I said, I get where the fighters are coming from. To where they're like, hey, this is disrespectful, but you don't have to listen to them. You can listen to the reporters that they have, the commentators that they have, who are pretty accurate. I mean, I like listening to them over the Snoopcast.
Yeah,
at first, it was like, oh, yeah, dude, Snoop Dogg's, oh, yeah, Snoop Dogg's doing this. And the first few weeks, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. But then I went week four and listened to the regular commentators, and I heard so many more facts that Uriah either didn't know or just wasn't talking about because he was just going off something that Snoop said and trying to be funny, or just wasn't very, you know, not even accurate, but just wasn't, like, telling. He wasn't telling the fighter story. He was just like, oh, yeah, this guy, he came from California. Cool. And, then, you know, it just wasn't enough info for me. You know, I like to hear about these guys' background.
This week was great.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that right now. This week was great. Everything you just complained about, they totally changed it. And Snoop sounded, halfway educated.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he sounded good. So, you know, check out this week. The best week overall, commentary, fights, decisions, all perfect.
Yeah.
So I give this Monty's Contender Corner week 5 or 6 or some shit an A.
It's 5, but yeah, that's all I had to say about that. All
right, cool. So I only got one more little bit on our contender series.
Okay.
Going back to my favorite winner yet, O'Malley. O'Malley, so apparently,
O'Malley!
Did
he get arrested or something?
No, this is written by Adam Wells, and this is according to Ariel Helwani.
Right.
O'Malley talked with him on the MMA Hour podcast, which is maybe a little bit better than ours, but we're getting there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, apparently, this is all quoted from Sean O'Malley, okay?
Yeah.
So, pretend I'm Sean O'Malley now, okay?
O'Malley!
I swear like everything.
O'Malley!
So apparently, right when he walked, I'm not gonna read. I'm just gonna tell you this story.
I thought you were O'Malley. Right?
All right, I can't be it. So right when I walked into his trailer, he handed me a joint, and I was pumped. It felt like a movie because I walked into his trailer, and he's got his bodyguards. He's got a couple others in there, I'm scrolling down, and there was like 3 joints going around. I was puffing and passing, trying to keep up, and they had a TV in there playing highlights of my fight. So we're watching that and smoking. It was so much fun. It was only like 20 or 30 minutes, but it was a good memory and time. It was a good time and a memory forever.
Yo,
so my man got the knockout, got a UFC contract, and then got to go out into Snoop's trailer and watch himself knock somebody out while smoking a joint with Snoop and all of his goons.
So are these fighters on the contender corner not going through USADA testing?
That's a whole different research project for us right now.
I'm just asking, do you think...
I mean, there's a picture of him
But what if he loses his contract because of that? Because now all the other UFC fighters are going to be like, well, what the fuck? Nate Diaz just got suspended for how long for smoking weed? Or was it Nick? One of the two. Kevin Gastelum just came off a 90-day suspension, which, by the way, sidebar, a little more news, he just re-signed to fight Anderson Silva. I don't remember when. I think it's November.
I mean, that was a whole different discussion, but yeah.
Anyway, going back where we were, the thing to me is like, what is the UFC stance on marijuana at this point? Are they like, oh, well, you know,
as soon as the NFL legalizes it, the UFC will too. That's my stance on it.
But the UFC goes through USADA, which is a drug administration company that's not anything to do with the UFC. That's a whole separate organization. I don't know what the NFL does.
Drug test.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, through the NFL or through, like, a USADA-type thing where it's, like, a separate entity. Something. I don't know.
I guess you stuck
so,
me there.
Anyway, like I said, I don't know what the UFC's stance on marijuana is at this point because, they're letting the fighters come off a win and go smoke weed, so...
Maybe it was because he just fought, you know what I'm saying? So he's not going to be...
Like I said,
he doesn't have to fight for a while. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure
you get drug tested after your fight, like the next day.
It wasn't. I don't know. Way to ruin my story.
I'm sorry. It was a good story. I'm just curious. It just brings up my point of the fact that you know, Snoop smoked weed on, and like talking, and then I don't know. Anyway, I didn't hear about that, but that's a cool story. That is a good one.
So let's go ahead.
O'Malley!
Snoop O'Malley.
Snoop O'Malley.
So as Slim previously mentioned,
yes,
we have a fight announcement that's going to be the UFC's return to China.
Oh.
Going to Shanghai. Boy, getting a little international out here.
Hell yeah. Finally. They haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, we'll be seeing, as Slim said, Kelvin Gastelum will again be matched up against Juan Anderson.
The Spider.
Silva.
What else is on that card? That's November, right? Is 219?
Slim, we don't have a...
But you got phone. I got phone.
I'm just saying, we don't have an event until September 2nd.
I know. It's rough. It's light out here. We had such a good summer, and then
you know
they took
saying?
A break in
so,
August.
Everybody's probably like, damn, there's nothing to talk about. We got shit to talk about. Call in. You got a subject you want to talk about? The numbers, you give them your number.
No. You can message us on A_A_MMA on Instagram and say, like, yo, I'm trying to call in. I got
yeah,
some things
like
I want to say.
We got, like, a work email, but...
We'll have a Skype number for you, but I don't want to throw it out right here because I don't want random people to call on my Skype
while
I'm trying to record. Because that'll fuck up my recording.
We're popping like that, and we can't just be talking to you guys like that. We got to stay in the shadows because that's how you get popular.
Right. Sneaking around, I think. Is that how you thought?
You can't see us. All
right. Well, in some other fight... announcing news.
News?
GSP
yeah.
did officially sign that contract, so I mean, that's done. Boom, sealed, ready to go.
Sick. I seen that. He posted the picture and everything.
You know what you didn't see?
What's that?
The biggest, happiest announcement I've seen in a while.
Happiest?
Yep, because one of my favorite upcoming fighters
okay.
just got a fight against a former champion.
Who?
You want to guess? Go ahead. Who's my favorite? Who do I like, Slim? Name some fighters I like. Who's our boy? Who's our big favorite boy?
Whoa, wait.
185.
Big,
mean, and Brazilian.
Hmm.
Go ahead, think.
It's not Vitor.
It's not Vitor because he's old as fuck. This is an upcoming
yeah, he's
guy who I like.
Not Yoel.
Is it Yoel? Never mind. You're not even.
No,
okay.
I'm not even.
You're not even in the fuck.
Oh, it's part. Fucking Borachinha.
Our boy, Borachinha.
Yeah.
Just got a fucking fight against Johnny Hendricks, bro.
Whoa.
At UFC 217.
Whoa.
Yo. That card is gonna be stupid.
Yo, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Jesus
Johnny
Christ.
Hendricks.
They're trying to get Johnny Hendricks to retire.
Johnny Hendricks versus... Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
That's what I was thinking. They're putting him in there against a savage.
That's not good. I don't see...
How do you see that one playing out?
I see Borachinha knocking Johnny out. Or at least, like, get him on the ground and TKOing him.
Nobody's gotten out of that first round with Borachinha yet. Do you
Dude,
think
Borachinha
is
a monster, a monster of a specimen, and I think he's, what is he, like 6'1", 6'2", and still big as fuck. I think he for sure has the physical advantage, and I don't know how Johnny could win this. Unless there's some holes in Borachinha's ground game, which we haven't even seen yet because he's been so vicious on the feet. That would be the only way I see Johnny taking this fight, is if he really gets him on the ground and TKOs. Or just hits him with the ground and pound, and you know, dirty boxing on the cage.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's going to be a real test for him because Borachinha is such a physical specimen. That's going to be a good one. It's going to be one to watch.
So far on you know, the actual announced ready to go bouts on UFC 217,
mm-hmm.
we got the championship fight, the return of George St. Pierre going
yep.
against Michael Bisping, challenging for that middleweight championship.
I still think it's weird, but anyway, it's happening.
It's whatever. As previously mentioned, the middleweight bout, Johnny Hendricks versus Paolo Borachinha.
Yeah.
We got another light heavyweight bout. That's going to be Gad Zimmerad Antigulov against Ion Kutalaba, who once dressed as the Hulk
okay.
in his,
yeah,
in his you know, warm-up. Or what is
walkout.
It? No. It's
weigh-in.
Weigh-in, yes.
Yeah, cool.
Another heavyweight bout. So listen, we got middleweight, light heavyweight. We got Curtis... Razor Blades.
Yes.
Going against Alexei Oleinik.
Ooh,
yeah, that's
the submission boy.
Yes, that's going to be a banger. I'm
nice.
Really looking forward to that.
That'll
fight.
Be good. And I like Old Meg. He's older, but I like him.
Yeah, rounding out the announced fights so far.
Was it? So is Garbrandt and Dillashaw not confirmed for that?
Not 100%, but it has been announced. Dillashaw will be challenging the champion, Cody Garbrandt, for the title at UFC 217. The contracts haven't been signed. It's not 100% official yet, no, but yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Garbrandt is with his back, but I do follow him on social media, and he was training in the gym today. So he might be ready to go.
Possible light workout, though.
We'll see. Well, he was doing pull chin-ups with a weight around his
waist. Yeah, I mean, if it was announced that he's ready to fight, he's ready.
I think so. I think he should do it. I think the world's been waiting for this. DJ shook off the fight for a reason. I think this was destiny that these two fight.
I agree.
And I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think it's been great. I do see Dillashaw taking down Cody, though. I don't see... Cody did great against Dominic Cruz. Cruz didn't really try to take him to the ground, but I do see DJ taking down Cody.
I agree.
I don't think he can stop that freight train that Dillashaw is. But I kind of got Cody winning that fight.
I do, too. I think he retains the title. Also on the UFC 217 card, Corey Anderson versus Patrick Cummins.
Pat Cummins been not so bad as of late. He's been pretty good.
So, UFC 216, also, 17. I just feel like...
Right. Oh, you're talking about 16 now, okay, yeah.
16 now. Should be an exciting one so far. We got a lot of talent going up on that card. Pretty excited for that one.
Is that... No, Nunes is 215, right?
Nope, that'll be 216. And
that's 216? Okay.
That will be also Demetrius and Ray Borg.
Yeah.
And then Nunes and Shevchenko.
Who's 215?
215 is...
I don't remember. I swear
that's...
I
oh, that's Johnson versus Borg. I'm sorry, I lied.
Yeah, I was going to say.
My bad. I was thinking 215. But yeah, we got Johnson versus Borg, and then also Nunes and Shevchenko too, which will also have Dos Santos and Ngannou.
They did fight twice. That's right. Yeah, Ngannou and Dos Santos. Man, that's going to be fireworks.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Also, Jeremy Stephens and Gilbert Melendez. We got Neil Magny versus Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah, I hope
Gilbert... Who recently talked about... who did he talk about? I can't think about it. Never mind.
I hope Gilbert can make a comeback off Stephens.
Yeah. Ilir Latifi versus Tyson Pedro, bro. Wow.
Yeah.
Henry Cejudo versus Wilson Heiss. Man. Luis Fathead Enrique versus Arian Bular.
Oh, he's still in the UFC?
Arian Bular?
No, Fathead.
Yeah, Fathead's still in there.
Nice.
Hang it.
Who got cut? Rogerio de Lima. The one who missed weight? Yeah, I think pretty sure he got cut.
He's recently. Also a Fathead.
Yeah, he is a Fathead. Supposedly, Paige Van Zandt is trying to fight Jessica Ai at 216.
That's happening. That's
it is, that is confirmed? Dope.
100%.
Sweet. Happening. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
So what do you think about the news that John Jones couldn't lift his arm days before his fight with Daniel Cormier?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, apparently John Jones suffered an injury a couple days before his fight with Daniel Cormier and wasn't able to even lift his arm.
Really?
Yeah.
And he still did how he did.
Still got that win.
Wow, what was his injury? Did they tell?
I almost had it.
Yeah, dude, if he would have pulled out of that fight, everyone would be like, oh, John's done.
Yeah, so I mean, just
props to him. Damn, true champ. Shows
the heart of a champion right there. So, Johnny Jones.
Was it like shoulder injury, elbow, or something?
I got it. Pull it up right here. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I mean.
Suffering an arm injury occurred 2 days before the fight. Couple nights, blah, 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 blah. He hurt it in wrestling. He wrestled a little too hard with his partner. Maybe like a warm up, so I'm not sure. It was kind of scary. All from Winklejohn. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't really say.
I think Winklejohn is one of the best coaches in MMA, to be honest. I mean, there's a lot of names you could knock off, but the people, excuse me, damn, the bats got me. Canadians got me. The names coming out of that camp is just insane. You got Holly, you got Travis Brown back in the day was on a tear. Former Rashad Evans was at that gym. Cerrone, you know, that gym is super stacked.
For sure. So, kind of Now moving to our boxing part of the podcast.
Hey.
Did you see the video?
Yes. So here's
it wasn't a push. Don't you dare say it was a push.
It wasn't a push.
He dropped his shit.
I think he tripped.
Yeah, he lost.
So for those of you who are who don't know what we're talking about, Malignaggi. Yeah. So Paulo Malignaggi is a former two division champ, or is he still a two division champ? Okay, so former two division boxing champ, came over to Ireland to help Conor out, you know, get him ready for obviously Mayweather, and a video got released, it was just a picture at first of Malignaggi falling to the canvas and Conor standing over him. And so Malignaggi found out about this and quit his camp completely. He went on Ariel Helwani's show and talked for a whole hour about how Conor was doing dirty tricks.
Had dark intentions.
Dark intentions, and how he was just not really respecting the sport and just kind of, you know, obviously, you know, he's going to throw his MMA flair in there and just, you know,
right.
do what he can. But that's really, that means a lot. Three weeks before the fight that he leaves the camp. So now McGregor's just got to train with whoever is willing to stand up with him in the gym.
Well, you know who volunteered?
I heard, but I don't remember his name.
High-tech Lomachenko.
Ooh.
The champ. The youngest, or the quickest to ever win a title belt in boxing.
Wow. Is he going over there, or is he just
High-tech Vasily Lomachenko.
Wow.
Offered to spar with Conor.
Wow.
And I think if he got to do that, Conor's game goes up tenfold, but that would be a hard spar for
True.
Conor.
Anyway, going back to Malignaggi. Okay, so initially Malignaggi was like, yeah, show the whole video. Let's get it out there in the UFC, because apparently, you know, while he was training there, the UFC had cameras around there 24/7. You know, they're trying to build up their pre-fight videos. You know, there's probably videos in McGregor's camp too.
Yeah.
So Paulie felt a little some type of way by that. You know, you're not ever supposed to show what happens in training. If someone gets knocked down or knocked out, they get knocked down or they get knocked out.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's training. It's sparring. It's what happens. You're supposed to go full force, because that's, you know, what could you could potentially see in a real fight.
Mm-hmm.
So Malignaggi, Conor's doing his little boxing thing, and I feel like it was a trip. I feel like Conor hit him, and he's tried to pedal backwards, and I feel like he tripped and fell on his butt.
Because he snapped right back up.
There wasn't a 10 count. It was just a...
It wasn't even a hesitation.
No. But Conor's striking looked sloppy. He was throwing some weird overhand,
those were boxing moves, son.
No. He was doing weird shit.
Well, yeah, but he's going to have that unorthodox.
He is, but just some not... Like, obviously, he's not just going to throw straights and hooks, but just some weird winding punches that, I don't know, dude.
You don't think it'll work?
No. No. I don't care how unorthodox he is. No. If that's what he's bringing to Floyd, that's not looking bright. I don't know if the odds changed. I don't know if you can pull that up real quick. I don't know if you can pull that up real quick, but...
Not that bad.
Because, honestly, no, they weren't bad, but I don't know if now, since the video got released, if they changed it all.
I can tell you that somebody just submitted into Las Vegas an $880,000 bet on Floyd Money Mayweather.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. How much you win, if you win, but God damn, that would be a hard loss.
Jesus.
That's almost $1 million loss, my friend.
Jesus.
Could you imagine? Yowzers. No, I can't imagine. I can't even imagine losing $20, bro.
I mean, I'd be down to lose $20.
Yo, Taylor was talking to me about how, like, Donald Trump, like, got a small loan of $1 million.
Yeah, a small loan of $1 million.
Bro, I asked my dad for, like, $20 until, like, Friday, and my man starts, like, shaking.
What?
Like, he'll just, like, he gets heated, bro. I mean, it's just crazy little life's people.
My dad hooked me up because he knew I'd get him back. You know I'm good for the money.
Yeah, so does my dad, but he still has to give me
a he's still getting, like, you got to sign a contract and, like,
yeah.
I feel it.
He's got like, interest on that shit, bro.
It's going to be $21.25 on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, where are you even coming up with these numbers, Dad?
Oh, that's funny.
The one day is...
Oh, go on.
My bad. No, I'm over the storytelling.
Anywho,
the odds are currently at... Man, a lot of fluctuating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tell me, what's going on? What are you seeing?
Today, what's today's date?
The 12th.
As of today, man, these numbers have been shifting. They're going to be different tomorrow.
I'm sorry, it's the 13th.
Okay, as of yesterday, Floyd Money Mayweather is an under 500 favorite, and Conor McGregor is a plus 350 underdog.
Wow. That's not... It started out like negative 2,000, negative...
At first, 1,000. Mayweather was the under, like the favorite, under 2,250, and McGregor was the underdog by plus 950.
Damn.
Yep. So a lot of betting changes.
And someone put some big money on Conor. Not as much as on Floyd, obviously. Floyd probably put money down on himself. Can he do that?
I lightweight kind of want to see Conor versus Malignaggi more than I want to see Conor
and
Floyd.
Dude. Maybe Conor quits MMA altogether and just stays with the boxing.
I also saw...
that's where he's going to win the most money.
Canelo Alvarez is willing to box Conor.
Yeah, which I also saw who just lost against Volkan. Jimmy Manoa is willing to fight Henry, I think is his name, some heavyweight in boxing who could probably cut down to his weight. And he talked about it before he fought Volkan. There was talks about him
fighting
this
fighter.
In boxing.
Just in like some random card?
Jimmy Manoa, yeah, just the overlap into boxing like Conor's done. And I don't remember his name. He's a heavyweight. He's good. Because I was watching some, like, biggest UFC fails. And it was Manoa saying, like, it was like, oh, so, you know, you're talking about boxing, blah, blah, blah. Well, have you been focusing on Ozdemir? And he's like, no, not really. I don't think he's that good. Buddy.
Got your shit.
Boy.
Blamed.
A minute. Are you kidding me? Yes. Never underestimate anyone. Anyway, back to Malignaggi. He quit the camp. He said, fuck this, I'm out. Can't believe you tried to put me on, like, you beat me up when you know really what happened, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. The video came out, Dana White posted on his Instagram.
Did you just go back to our earlier story about this?
Yeah, we didn't cap it off.
Really? Did we not?
I don't think we did.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyway, Malignaggi quit. Dana White posted the video. I don't think Conor's boxing was looking very well.
Okay. I respect that. I mean, who knows, bro? I don't fucking know. Off that clip, it just looked like he was doing some very unorthodox things, so.
It was just some awkward shit. I don't know.
And his workouts were, you see the arm swings?
Yeah. He's been, man, biking, fucking rowing.
Thing is, though, Andre Berto, last person that fought Floyd Mayweather, says he thinks there's a good chance that McGregor can pull this off.
Really?
He thinks that he has the tools to beat him. And also, Floyd said that he's slower now. He's lost a step. He's not as powerful. But do you think that's just Floyd playing some mind games?
For sure. I think he's trying to undercut and just
get a bigger... He already knows that Conor's not going to think anything less of himself, so he's like maybe trying to think...
I think he still believes in himself, but I think he's trying to get the media to believe that, I don't have it anymore, and he pulls, like, a Rocky story, like, something like that.
Okay. Well, that's kind of all I have on the Malignaggi, McGregor, Mayweather, everybody with a fucking M in their name, beef.
Yeah. Goddamn. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't listen to the whole hour of Malignaggi talking shit, because, like, I don't...
Who gives a fuck about listening to Paulie Malignaggi talking shit for a fucking hour?
No, but he's very upset. And, he feels...
Hair. He looks like, the situation.
Damn. He feels belittled, that's all I know. Whatever. So, who do you think is next in line for John Jones? Do you think it's Gustafson, who a lot of people think beat him in the first fight, who has been on, you know, he lost, I think Cormier was his last loss, and now he's been on a 2-fight win streak. Or do you think Volkan jumps everyone else and steps up because of his recent performances, and then Gustafson kind of sits out, maybe takes one more fight, and then, you know, gets the public to think, oh, wow, Gustafson's back on his shit.
I like Ozdemir's idea. Let's battle it out for the king of Europe. Ozdemir versus Gustafson.
But they're both Swedish,
aren't
they?
Winner gets Jones.
No. Have they talked about fighting?
Ozdemir's from Switzerland, which is not Swedish.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I'm sorry. That was my fault. next week, Cliff will go.
Yeah, we're gonna have sound clips for every time Slim fails on words, and
so we're gonna have a lot of sound clips.
Actually,
anyway,
we need like a facts aren't important. It's noise also.
Noise,
because we don't give a fuck about facts.
What about last week? What about your declaration of shit and stats?
I mean, yeah, but
that was the title of last week's episode.
We did good, so now I can be like, oh yeah, fuck this.
Last week's episode had more views than it ever did, and I think it's because I put, you don't know what I did, but I,
you
were like,
spelled it.
You were like, oh, no, I had spell check, but you were like, oh yeah, I need you. I don't need you pushing buttons. I need you being focused. But you don't know that I can edit and post, boy. I've been learning. I've been watching old Daddy Sean work, and I know what I'm doing now. So I stuck an Oblivion soundtrack behind your declaration.
Why would you say it's Oblivion? I would be like, yeah.
Because it's a great game.
Yeah, Oblivion.
Yeah, because it was sick, dude. The fact that,
you keep using our soundboard. Sad.
Sad. No, the only reason I showed Chance and Clint that, and they fucking died when I played it. They were like, is that Oblivion? And they fucking lost it, dude.
That's funny.
It was sick.
It's funny because they just, like, thought it was funny on some nerd shit. Like, yeah, is that Oblivion? Anybody else would have just been like, ah, oh, it's funny, he's doing a declaration. They're like, yeah, this is Oblivion.
Dude, Oblivion was sick. But yeah, it was like, I need there to be music right now. And it just came in.
Yeah, that's what we're
I did that
to
perfectly.
With next week, I promise.
Yeah, when we're not in the basement.
Slim's not going to be 20, 40, 55 fucking minutes late.
And or
we're gonna
beers
be,
deep.
We're going to be up in the beautiful studio with a nice sound quality. Giving you guys the good shit, my friends.
The good shit.
The good shit.
Back to who Jones should fight next. Gustafson or Gustafson.
They got
a right, does Gustafson fight next and it's like a huge, like, oh my god, he almost beat him the first time rematch, or does Gustafson take maybe
it's
another
either
fight?
Either Gustafson gets him or Gustafson and Ozdemir fight and we wait for Brock.
Brock's got 6 months of USADA testing ahead of him before he gets back in the UFC.
I mean, think of how long we have for all these announced bouts, though.
True. Bisping and GSP press conference was like, what was that, like February? March? Like
Brock can already be training for that shit, and as soon the day he's ready to go, I'll be ready.
That's true.
So, that's kind of my thing on it. Let's have Jones versus Brock super fight, and then Gustafson and Ozdemir should be on the undercard. Well, not the undercard, but like the fight
co-main.
Before it.
Yeah, yeah,
like the co-main event, unless there's like two other championship fights on it, because that's probably what they do. Yo, make me a matchmaker. Dana White, give me a job, bro. Sean Shelby, all you guys.
Right,
put me out here, bro.
What
I got good ideas. Man.
Hell yeah.
I need a better job.
Don't we all? what else was I going to say? Fuck, I forgot. God damn it! You said a name. What was the name? What do you think about that link I sent you earlier about the pay-per-view buys?
I didn't look at it because I was at work.
Oh, fair enough. Anyway, Conor McGregor is the leading pay-per-view champion of the entire UFC. And I went back and looked at, you know, some of the other fights.
Yeah, I just want you to know that was like
what?
The least surprising thing I ever thought. Like,
no, but it's just been so recent, like 2016, and that's it.
Well,
like,
I
went back and looked at the last few UFC fights that we've watched and like been hyped over, and it's been like a couple of them under 100,000, and that's super surprising to me. Like, I think the most bought one is like around 160,000, and that was McGregor versus Diaz 2, which had, you know, obviously a lot of hype, but like I think.
It only got 160,000.
Yeah, John Jones DC 2 only got 860,000.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not 1.6 million is what Connor had.
Thank you.
Jones
Thank
DC
you.
2 had 860,000.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just seen the 1.6 in my head and said that. So yeah, it's obviously it's not surprising that Connor is the reigning champ in pay-per-view, but it is kind of weird that he, you know,
he's
took this
be
whole
a super reigning champ here soon.
Oh yeah. Do you how many views do you think this breaks? Do you think it breaks Pacquiao versus Floyd?
Oh my god, yes. This man.
But I heard that the ticket sales aren't going as projected. They're not doing as well as they thought.
Because people Sorry, that's in my bag. I don't know. Just here's some stats for you guys. The highest total for a boxing or a pay-per-view ever in history is 4.9 million.
What?
Yes, sir.
Who?
And that was Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Actually, that was 4.6. Sorry, 4.6 million.
Holy shit!
And there's not even a close second, which was Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya, which was 2.4 million.
Wow.
I think this will be the first one to break 5 million buys. 5 million pay-per-view. Bro.
4.6 million, dude.
Mayweather and Pacquiao did 4.6.
Connor's most is 1.6 mil. That's his most. Okay, and that was against Diaz, who's not
okay,
even
now
a fucking...
Add 1.6 million to 4.6 million. What do you get?
6.2?
Not even close, but yes, more than 5.
Okay. I don't see it happening.
Was that not even close?
I think it was on point. You said 5 to 1.6. Or 1 or 4. You said 4.6 to 1.6.
Add that 1 point. Yeah, I mean, you were probably
6.2. I don't want to do math.
Listen,
anyway.
That's more than 5, bro. I'm telling all these UFC people are going to be going over to these boxing people, and it's going to be a big mesh of people, and it's going to be over 5 million.
Yeah, but everyone
I will
knows.
Bet money on it.
But,
if anybody
like
wants
I
to
said,
put a bet on that, call me.
Like I said, the ticket sales have not been going as projected, which is kind of surprising to me. I thought they would sell out. I thought a lot of celebrities would be like, oh, yeah, let me get in there. But apparently not a sellout like they thought it would be. Like, not no Ariana Grande concert type shit.
Yo,
it sells out in 2.5 seconds. I just thought of a random
one. No, that was a terrible thing. Her shit got bombed not too long.
Yeah, but okay, but they're still selling out.
I mean, we could have picked something.
Miley Cyrus,
Rolling
I'm
Stones.
Sorry. Like,
Rolling Stones.
Probably not selling out 2.5 seconds.
Did she even make this video or something?
You don't go to
concerts either. You only have them.
Yeah, I don't go to any rap shows. I'm not making money yet.
Right.
Anyway, so as I was saying about the rankings, McGregor holds the top out of 5 pay-per-views, McGregor holds 4 of those as the top viewed pay-per-views.
And if you
want to
count
ever.
This, it's going to be the 5th.
UFC 202 is at the top. It's Diaz versus McGregor 2, as I said. UFC 196, which is Diaz versus McGregor 1, had 1.3 million views.
Mm-hmm.
Alvarez versus McGregor, which was a huge event, UFC 205 Madison Square Garden, did also 1.3 million. But the Diaz one did a little bit more, had 117,000 more than 1.3. And then UFC 200, I don't know if you've ever watched that. That was when Lesnar fought Frank Mir the second time and beat him. Dude, that was insane.
Jose Aldo fought Frankie Edgar.
No. This is UFC 100. I'm sorry, did I say 200?
Yeah, you did.
This is UFC 100. This was
Rock also fought at UFC
this was,
200.
This was on in 2009.
Okay.
This is way back in the day. But I was at my neighbor's, and we ended up buying this fight, and dude, it was insane. It also did 1.3. And then at the 5th one, Aldo versus McGregor, which is 194, when he won the belt, did 1.2 million. And then Lesnar is right behind that at number 6, UFC 116, at 1.16 million. I'm sorry. So basically, if your name isn't Conor McGregor or Brock Lesnar, you're not really doing over a million buys.
Very true. Until
or Rousey. Rousey's got a couple in here.
John Jones is about to get the shit back popping.
John Jones isn't in.
Yeah, but
John Jones hasn't broke a million pay-per-views yet.
He's about to get on and popping.
Rousey did. The Jacksons versus Rampage poppin'. Jackson versus Rashad Evans did. Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva broke a million. Misha Tate versus Amanda Nunes broke a million, but that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Does John Jones sell a million on his next one?
Yeah.
Gustafson too?
I think so.
I don't see Vulcan doing that, but maybe Gustafson. I don't know. Like I said though, I want John Jones to maybe run through Vulcan. I want maybe Gustafson to have one more fight and then build up a hype and then boom, biggest fight.
I think my idea was better, but cool.
Yeah, you're right.
Totally out of stuff, bro. I mean,
I'm
we just covered basically the whole fucking shebanger.
I'm cleaned out.
Pretty much. Stefan Struve was talking that spicy, mad dirty shit against Brock.
Oh yeah.
You know
against Brock.
Yeah, same.
Lesnar. Why?
Article. Just
isn't he fighting? Who's he fighting next? It's
He is actually the next fight.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be against Volkov. Yes.
It's a please,
please spill your beer all over yourself.
Thanks, bud.
I love it.
I totally did. It's Volkov on September 8th, I believe. So Connor is pretty much gonna be the
September 2nd.
Oh, okay. So Connor's pretty much gonna be the next fight.
That we got. Talking this
spicy talk.
There he is. Oh, that's Volkan Ozdemir saying that he's not impressed with Jon Jones' win.
Oh.
Didn't get to talk about that, but, you know.
He did get a knockout, you know, bud.
We can't talk about.
Hmm?
God damn it, I don't got the fucking article on here. Stefan Struve was talking some mad, spicy shit. Let me find it here on my computer. Jesus Christ. Since I already brought it up, if I would have known I was going to fuck this up, I would have just not even said anything.
Oh, jeez. I do find it interesting that when asked about Jones moving up to heavyweight to fight Stipe, he said, you know, I don't think Stipe has a name for himself yet. Like, the casual fan doesn't know Stipe. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, looking at, when you know, obviously Stipe is huge with us because we're literally an hour away from his hometown. Huge name. We met him. Super cool dude. Like, really down to earth. And, you know, to pretty much everyone in Ohio, because Ohio sports fans are the best fans in the world.
Very extremely.
To
go Brownies. It's almost season time, bitches. Go ahead.
Well, at least go Cavs. Anyway, you know, super loyal fans. And I thought that the Cleveland show did crazy. The announcer said that it was the loudest event they've heard in a long ass time. So I thought it was interesting that Jones said, you know, Stipe doesn't have the following that I need to, you know, make a payday on, or even, like, that he wants to fight to, like, go on his legacy. And I'm like, dude, he's the champ. He's been knocking one more fight, and he beats the all-time record of title defenses at the heavyweight division, which is insane because it's only three.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jones went on a tear. Demetrius Johnson went on a tear. GSP went on a tear. Anderson Silva went on a tear. Who was winning that lightweight for a long time? What's his name? Monty. What's his name?
I'm sorry.
Lightweight.
For who?
Who was the champ at lightweight for a while?
When?
Before BJ Penn. I forgot.
Man.
BJ Penn went on a tear. Anyway.
Lightweight. Go ahead. Yeah. I got it coming up. Just keep talking.
Yeah. Anyway. Pretty much anyone who gets the belt holds it for a long time. Mighty Mouse and Dominic Cruz are in there too, and Joanna has proven herself also. So it did Rousey for a little bit, and I hope Amanda Nunes does as well. But as I was saying, I think that it's a little weird for John to say that Stipe doesn't have a name for himself yet and hasn't built up a resume.
Sean Sherk,
was he the longest? He was back way back in the day. How many defenses was it?
He only had one. Jan Pulver had two. And then BJ had three.
Yeah, it was probably BJ.
And then Frankie had three. And then Benson Henderson had three.
All right, well, lightweight's been switching up because that's a stacked division. Anywho, my point was, I think Stipe should fight Jones. Yeah?
No. But cool.
No, why?
Right now?
Why not?
Because I think exactly what John Jones said.
You don't think he's awesome? Yeah.
But I'd rather see Jon Jones versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it's so far away. Maybe Jones has an injury. Maybe
it's not as far as away as.
Anyway, did you find?
Yeah, I got Stefan Struve talking shit here.
Okay.
So he says this is when he was talking to Submission Radio on the subject of them fighting, as in Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar. He said they cannot do that. That's impossible. That would be the worst message the UFC could ever send out. So if he fights again, he should go through 6 months of testing, 6 whole months of testing. So once he is declared eligible, he has to do another 6 months of actually testing. He said, I believe, back to my quotes, I believe before he fights again. I think that's the rule right now. So if he comes back and they let him go through those 6 months of testing, then I'm curious to see how he steps in the cage.
Well, I mean,
he thinks Jones beats him anyway, steroids or not.
There's a 10-year age gap there, which is that's pretty sizable. I mean, obviously you got like what's his name, Olenek, who just beat Travis Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Yep.
You know, he's
a physical specimen also, and he's 40, still putting in work.
Still tapping people out.
You know, I think at Lesnar's age, especially the fact that he's been on so many steroids and blah, 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 done so well he's done so well in both sports. I think he's still got it. He'll be fine.
I agree.
He's got it, right? Yeah?
Yeah. I agree. Sorry, I'm wrapping everything up.
All right, cool. One more
time for us to... Oh.
The welterweight division.
Okay.
Well, they fucked up his shoulder.
Oh, didn't know that.
He went to the doctor.
I mean, I heard about it.
Yeah, so he knew he did in the fight because he's had this injury before. He went to a doctor the couple days after, and they said, you're probably going to need surgery. The surgery is going to put him out for a while.
Okay.
He's going to... I knew he said he was going to go to another doctor to get a second opinion of what are other possible treatments, but... Let's say he does take the surgery. What do they do with the welterweight division? He said
depends
he would be,
on how long he's out.
He said he would be upset if the UFC decided to do it.
He might be ready to go in like 3 months, bro.
It'd be longer. He said he's had the surgery before.
Bro, I got full reconstructive shoulder surgery, and I was out for like 2 months.
That's it?
I mean, in the physical therapy that man's going to be doing.
Was it your ligaments and shit, though?
Yes, it was everything, bro. It was everything in my arm. My whole shoulder is just pins and fucking...
Well, okay, in the welterweight division, who do you think... All right, let's say he's out for 6 months, tops. The UFC's like, oh, we got to do something. And they do an interim belt. Who do you think fights for that interim belt? Damian Maia's out. Wonderboy can't... I don't think Wonderboy does that off of coming off a loss. No one wants to see a Woodley versus Wonderboy 3.
It'd be Wonderboy and... I don't know.
I don't see Wonderboy. I don't think anyone wants to see Wonderboy Woodley 3. I don't want to. I know I wouldn't. I don't want to watch that fight.
I'd watch it again.
But at the same time, Wonderboy is one of the best fighters in the world. You know, he came off a 7-fight win streak to fight Woodley, and now okay, so he loses against Woodley again. Then what does he do? Does he go to Bellator and just reign there for the rest of his time? Like, you know, he's an excellent fighter, but he, you know, Woodley's just a physical specimen, and he's a beast. So, like, if you can't beat Woodley, what do you do? What does Maia do at this point? He got 7 wins before he fought Woodley. Just go on another
start another streak, bro. That's how it goes. That's how the game works.
Is that all you gotta do?
Yeah. Start winning again.
Start winning.
It's plain and simple. I can't tell you if they were to do an interim fight. Welterweight, I guess I would have to go. I don't know. Who do you think? You don't got anybody in mind?
Hang on, let me pull up the rankings real quick. I had someone in mind, but I lost him. I think, even though we're not, you know, super fans of him, maybe corny Colby Covington.
Stop. Dude, get the fuck out of here.
Dude.
Absolutely not.
Okay, but.
128% no.
I'm not. I'm saying we don't like him, but he's not.
But yeah, but he's not even close to that.
You don't think at all?
No, absolutely not.
My shit won't pull up. God fucking. It's basement connection.
I know it's been fucking me up.
Do you have welterweight rankings?
Yeah, it's Robbie number 2.
Oh yeah. Do you think he fights? Do you think Robbie takes it?
It would be like Wonder Boy and Robbie, or like Masvidal.
Ooh, Robbie versus Masvidal?
No, not Robbie versus... It'd be Wonder Boy no matter what. Wonder Boy gets... If we're playing fantasy an interim, it's Wonder Boy against either Robbie Lawler or Jorge Masvidal.
I could see Wonder Boy versus Robbie before I see him versus Masvidal.
I agree.
I think either one of them beats Masvidal, for real. I like him, but, you know, honestly, I mean, these are fucking... title challengers and title former champions. So
yeah, I think Wonder Boy is the undisputed second best welterweight.
Hell yeah. Anyways, that'll do it for us, guys. This was ANA MMA episode 19.
Yep. Shout out to all the homies, everybody listening. We fucking love you guys. Thanks for listening to us and shit. All of our homies out in Japan, bro.
Yeah.
Germany and shit.
Russia. All that. France.
We fuck with all of you guys. Thank
Italy
you so
too.
Much. I mean, yeah.
That's sick.
We appreciate you guys.
Shout out to you guys. Shout out to everyone in other states too. Our San Francisco listeners.
Yeah, I mean, we're so
that's awesome
out here. Come meet us. write us notes and be like, yo, that's me listening to you. We can see where you're listening from. Let us know it's you. Show us the love, yo.
Shout out your personal. You can find me on Twitter at SlimCock.
You can find me at the F-I-O-R A-M as in Mary, O-N as in Nancy, T-I. The Fioramonte. At the Fioramonte. You know, same shit for my Twitter and all that good shit.
You sound like my
mom. My Snapchat is AJF320, but don't fuck with me on Snapchat, bro.
Dude, fuck with me on Snapchat. My Snapchat is Slink Dink.
Don't fuck with me on Snapchat.
I'll put my code on our Instagram. Anyway, you sound like my mom when you're describing, when you're responding. It's S is in Sam, L, I, S is in Sam, like, she really does that shit.
Well, sometimes you have to, bro. I do that shit in my work.
People get that wrong? That often?
I can't. People fucking slaughtered my last name.
For a while, it was really hard for me to spell it.
People put my name in a blender and fucking hit saute.
Same, dude. Slim Koski? Like, you kidding me?
Saute. What's that shit called where you just, like, totally fucking liquidate it?
Puree.
Yeah, puree. Straight puree my last name, bro. Nice.
Puree of letters.
Like, literally, puree my last name.
Anywho, that'll do it for us, guys. We'll see you next week. We'll probably go over another Contender Corner series and then really break down McGregor versus Floyd because it'll be the week after that. Right?
Yo.
What?
Slim.
What? What?
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
What?
That's Andre Sukumthoth commented on our fucking profile, bro.
What? Are you serious?
Yo, we're so popping. We're so popping, bro.
What?
We got UFC fighters commenting on our pictures because that's how dope we are.
Yo, shout out to you, Andre.
Andre Sukumthoth, yo. Fuck yeah, that's cool as fuck.
When was... Oh, wow.
Yo, big...
How did he find...
Big shout outs, bro. Big Holy moves. Shit. A&A MMA really about to get the plugs in here, yo.
Fuck yeah. That just got me hype. All right, we're going to meet this week, and we're going to get some sound clips and whatnot.
Yeah.
And not be in the basement next week.
Yeah, sound quality will be much better. You guys will be feeling it. Slim and I will be fucking just ready to rock. Stacks on deck, bitches. Instagram pics.
Instagram pics on mic. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.